is the weekly hour of one Mr. Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. His appearance each week here on Sports Talk presented by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. You can view their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Apologize for no John and Jimmy, but we'll make it through.
I apologize for being late walking in here. I looked up and the light was on. I'm like, man, is he ever going to get to news? And I looked and it's almost 10 after 5. I'm like, I think I missed news. I should have already been in the room talking. So I apologize for my tardiness. I was actually in the building and on time, which is a shock for me.
Well, I tried to keep it on time too. So. Hey, today we got a chance to hear from Tim Banks. And obviously he was asked about the defensive backs quite a bit. What's your reaction to how Tim Banks, what he said, and how Tennessee is sort of managing the lack of numbers back there?
Well, I mean, I think you obviously, Josh Heupel indicated something very similar. I mean, you make the best out of the situation, and the best out of the situation is cross-training, giving guys experience at other spots, knowing that they may not play there, but they will get a greater understanding of how the defense all comes together. It obviously helps if the safety knows what the corner is doing in every coverage. And it's one thing to know it on the board. It's another thing to play it and to get a feel for it that way. Like, okay, man, the corner really needs help on these kind of routes or this, that, or the other. So, I mean, I think you're just making the best of the situation. It's not idea. Okay. And I applaud the Tennessee's coaching staff. They're not poor mouthing it. Oh, we can't line up and compete because we don't have this. But nobody in the country could be down basically their top four corners and it just be normal, right? I mean, so you do the best you can with it. You're going to play some guys out of position in some ways, but it's probably going to help guys if they get matched up into some coverage stuff, if they get corner work, you know, when they end up not playing corner. And maybe, who knows, maybe you find a corner out of that. You know what? Maybe Christian Charles can play there, can help you there in a pinch, and can be a guy who you can use in a variety of different ways when you go to extra defensive back. So I just think you make the best out of it, but it's a difficult situation. I think it's going to make for the receivers to have a lot of fun, you know, at times this spring. So I think you got to be careful as to what do we really have at receiver,
right,
particularly with these young guys because of what they're going against. But it's one of those uncontrollables, so you make the best out of the uncontrollable, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
If you have any questions for Brent Hubbs from VolQuest here in his hour, you can call us at 865-656-9900, 865-656-9900, toll free, 1-866-656-9900. One thing that Tim Banks mentioned today is, hey, we try to recruit DBs as opposed to just corners, just safeties. Have you seen Tennessee really do that in recruiting?
I mean, you know, I guess you could say that, but I think if you talk to any recruit, they would tell you what position they're being recruited at in the secondary.
Right.
You know, but all those guys know who they are and where they want to play. You know, if he's a corner, the expectation is he's coming in to play corner. If he's you know, a nickel guy, then the expectation is going to be that he comes in and plays nickel. Now, once you get here, you may move around to a degree, but corners are different than safeties. They're not completely interchangeable. That's why we don't expect Trayvon Flowers to compete to be a starting corner for Tennessee this fall. But because those guys have different skill sets, they're asked to do different things. You know, there's a speed factor, there's a quickness factor, there's different variables and techniques that some guys play better than others, which makes them a better corner or makes them a better safety. You know, traditionally a guy's a corner, and if he can't athletically, he can't do everything you need for him at corner, he ends up most of the time going to safety. It's why I've always said Dale Carter is one of the top two or three, four athletes who's ever played at the University of Tennessee, because he was a college safety who played corner in the NFL. You don't see that move.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't see a lot of guards in college go play left tackle in the National Football League. It's just not the move that you make. So, I think those guys have in recruiting have an idea of where the staff likes them the most. Most of the guys who play corner in high school, that's all they play. They haven't played a lot of safety. So they're not as interchangeable in high school that way. Now, you may evaluate him and say, okay, I'm not sure he's a college corner, but he's got great ball skills. We think he can play safety, you know, that way. But the kid probably wants to be recruited as a corner. you know, what you're telling the kid and what you're doing in terms of where you think everybody's positioned at. Sometimes isn't always the same. But I'm sure that they've got guys in their recruiting board that they have corner, you know, nickel guy, safety. Then they're all under the DB umbrella, and you go get the best you can get.
Really interesting, and I think you make a great point. And we got to be careful what we take out of the wide receivers in the spring, because we don't know that they're going to see that level of competition when they get in the games.
Well, particularly with the young guys,
right?
Okay, because I mean, the first thing, everybody loves the new guy, right? The new guy's the best guy. That's why everybody loves the backup quarterback. You know, the new guy is always better than the returning guy in a lot of ways. So this guy's bigger, faster, stronger, this type of thing. And I don't think there's anything to suggest those new receivers aren't going to be factors and are not going to be able to help. But I don't know that somebody's going to come in and say, wow, this guy's going to have a Cedric Tillman type year in his first year at Tennessee. Let's wait and see, you know, because they're not going up against guys who are likely to be corners for this team in the fall. But at the same time, too, I think you can get an idea of what kind of athletic ability they have just from a production standpoint. It's why we always said when they had a spring game, be careful about getting caught up in who the leading rusher was.
Right.
Because you didn't always know who they were going against or what they were doing. The numbers can get skewed really quickly, and I think that's something that you have to be mindful of this spring with those guys.
Joined by Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. Get to the phones in 1 second at 656-9900, 865-656-9900. Of those DBs that's not participating in the spring, is there one that you think is most detrimental to his potential opportunity that presented itself with playing time this year that maybe might have the most work to do to try to make up for losing practice in the spring?
That's a great question. And I think I'll answer it this way because I don't know the answer to it, but this is how I will kind of picture it or put it into context, if you will. I think DeShon Rucker's got a great upside, but I think DeShon Rucker probably has more to learn than other guys. So I think the loss of those reps for DeShon Rucker are really tough. It's not to say that Kamal Haddon's established and is the man, or that Brandon Turnage is the man, but we saw Brandon Turnage. We saw Brandon compete at the SEC level, play in the nickel spot, and he had a really good game against South Carolina. I think he was freshman of the week or something like that in one of those honors. We saw Kamal Haddon come in. Wasn't perfect, but he forces a fumble at Alabama. He makes a play against Kentucky. He's done a few things to make you say, okay, there's some real upside of that. Unfortunately for DeShon Rucker, the only real experience we got to see of him was in the Purdue game. And it was tough. He played a handful of snaps, and it was tough for him. He wasn't ready for that moment. Not to say he can't play, but there's still a lot of developing that needs to take place there. So for me, when I look at the guys who are missing, he's the guy who has great upside that needs all the reps that he could get. And so by that token, I think him missing spring is probably a little more detrimental to his development than, say, a Brandon Turnage, Kamal Haddon, and certainly a Warren Burrell who's played a ton of snaps at Tennessee. Now, the winner in that is Tim Banks. I don't remember what the phrase he was to say, but the winner in all of this is going to be Desmond Williams, because he's right. Going to get every rep he can handle this spring, which should accelerate the development of him. Does that mean he's going to be ready right out of the gate? I don't know, but you know, you come to a school at midterm with the opportunity to practice in spring and get some extra reps and see what you can do. He's not just going to get some extra reps. He's going to get every rep his body can handle, which is going to accelerate his development heading into the offseason.
Yeah, impressive kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very impressive kid. A kid who is, I think, a smart kid. I think he's instinctive. Got to adjust to the speed of the game, got to adjust to the physicality. I mean, there's plenty of an adjustment period there, but it's the adjustment period you want to have happen now as opposed to August, and it's an adjustment period that may go a little faster than 15 practices would, because he's not splitting it with four other corners. He's getting as many reps as he can possibly about physically handle at this point, which is a benefit for him, going to be a huge benefit for him this spring.
All right, let's go to the phones. Joel is first up here in Brent Hubbs' hour. Joel, you're on with Brent Hubbs. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I've got an ignorant question regarding the Nico commitment I'm going to try to say his last name. You correct me if I'm wrong. Iamalieva. Is that right?
Malieva. Iamalieva. I went off of, I went off of him and his younger brother, Madden, saying their last name, and then I watched it a bunch of times. So that's how
I did. Yeah, that, I mean, it's it's really Iamalieva, but you got to squeeze it together. It's not that many syllables, so it's Iamalieva. I can see now I've got myself out of saying it. But anyway,
I'm all messed up.
Yeah, you got me all messed up. I'm gonna call him Nico. Oh, how about that?
There you go. I should have stuck with that. I got us all messed. All right. So with the, I mean, I know it's a speculatory deal, but just let's say in general, if a kid signs or commits and then signs, and he has this big deal, like the rumor, I'm sure you know, obviously what I'm talking about. Are those kids signing any type of contract, or is there anything keeping those kids from saying, hey, I've got my money and I'm going to run to Bama next year or wherever else and get what I can get out of them? And that's the first question.
Okay.
Next question is about Brew McCoy, if whatever you know about him. I got a text from a buddy earlier, so he's doing what Danny White said to do, text a buddy. So I got one. So I was going to get the lowdown from you. But appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Let's talk a little bit about the Nico thing, just in generalities, okay, because I don't know any specifics in terms of, you know, dollars and this, that, and the other. But there's no contract with the prospect and the school, okay, that is done between the prospect and a collective, and the collective does not work for a university. They're their own private industry and in business, and so they reach an agreement, and then there's obligations within that agreement, okay, and some of those agreements are 1-year agreements, some of them are going to be multi-year agreements, some of them are going to differ based on what state, you know, the prospect is in. There's a ton of different variables out there. But those collectives are not going to bound you to a particular school. It's not going to lock you in to say, okay, well, he's here, he can never transfer. Or if he's in a place where he can make money before he signs somewhere, as in the case of California, it doesn't bind you in to anywhere because you didn't take money from a school. The collective is the agreement that you have, and the collective's job is to be your marketing firm. They're to market you and brand you and help you grow your brand and make more money. And so a great example of that is Quentin Ewers, the quarterback that went to Ohio State, right? He got seven figures as a part of his NIL deal, and he ends up at Ohio State. Well, now he's at Texas. His collective is still helping him in order to honor their contract with him for the financial number. And so he's doing name, image, likeness stuff at a separate institution than the institution he signed for and went to work for with that, you know, collective and that type of thing. So there's a real distinction there, and you have to understand that distinction, that the collective, which in East Tennessee is Spire, the Spire Group, they don't work for the university. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's not a deal with the university, not binding him into anything. It's they have a deal with the individual player and the individual kid. And if he goes somewhere else as a transfer, then they've got to and they've got to honor the contract, and the kid's got to honor the contract. Now they've got to, you know, find different ways for appearances and different things like that. But the contract is not with the university itself.
Ken, and we'll hold the Brew McCoy answer to after the break,
okay.
But can any of these collectives put that in their language?
Well, I've not seen a contract,
right.
but you can't put in your contract that says you're gonna get X amount of dollars if you sign with this school.
Right.
That's pay to play. That has been on the record as like you can't do that.
Right.
That's a barred deal. You know, can there be stuff in there that says, hey, if you go somewhere else,
right, that's what I mean.
Our dollar
right.
figures are ready to go. I don't know all of that.
Right.
Okay. So I've not seen contracts and I'm not comfortable in that discussion. I just think that a lot of people don't understand that the collective is not the university, that there is a clear distinguishing thing there between those two. So if the prospect or the player on the roster has an NIL deal through a collective, that is between player and collective, not player, university, and collective. Okay, there's no university involved in that deal there, which is a challenge for the NIL stuff because they all got to work and dance in a dance that they're not supposed to dance with. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of state laws around the country being changed. In Alabama, the state laws being changed. Florida, there's a big proposal in the state of Louisiana to change. And what people are wanting to allow to have happen is to where the collective can have conversation with universities. Okay? Can't broker deals. Right. You know, the university can't broker deals. But there's some legal open dialogue there that can help in those conversations. We'll see if that happens in the state of Tennessee, but we're seeing that happen across the way. It was already in place in Utah, which is why we saw the viral video of the collective in the team room at Utah talking to the entire team, announcing they were doing something with the walk-ons.
Right.
You can't do that in the state of Tennessee. That's illegal.
Yeah.
It's not illegal in Utah.
BYU, I think it was.
Right, BYU. Yeah. It's BYU, but it was in the state of Utah.
Right.
So the state law in Utah allows that to happen, not in Tennessee. Those laws are being rewritten in a lot of places around the country. We'll see what happens with Tennessee moving forward.
Whew, there's so much on that topic.
It changes every day. I mean, it almost changes hourly. Right. It really does. Don't let me forget the Brew McCoy stuff. We're late for break. I know you like to stay on time. I don't want to mess you up.
We'll talk about Brent. We'll answer Joel's question about Brew McCoy, and we'll talk more about Tennessee and their meeting with their start of spring practice with two in the book so far. He's Brent Hubbs. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. His appearance each week presented by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. We thank them, and we thank you for listening here each week. I'm Vince Ferrara in for John and Jimmy. Jimmy on vacation. John in or out to Oxford. What a big weekend series. We'll talk to this weekend. We'll talk to Brent about that coming up in a little bit. But Joel had two questions for you. The other one on Brew McCoy. Where's Tennessee in this Brew McCoy deal?
In the middle of it, deep in the middle of it. Brew's going to be here the end of the weekend through the first part of next week. What's interesting is, and I give a shout out to the investigators on VolQuest who noted this morning on the board that Brew McCoy is listed as a student in Tennessee student directory. Now, does it mean what everybody thinks it means, that it's done? It's not, but there's obviously a hurdle there if he's been admitted as a student. Now, he's not made a final decision on where he's going to go to school. He is the five-star transfer receiver from Southern Cal that Southern Cal's trying to get to stay. He's looking at a variety of different places, but Tennessee's been mentioned as a school from him from the moment he went in the transfer portal. And I think the fact that this offense put up numbers the way it did a year ago and receivers had the production that they had has been a nice eye-opener for him. They got a returning quarterback, he feels like he could get the ball here, I'm sure. We'll see what happens coming out of this weekend, but it is noteworthy that his name shows up in Tennessee student directory, and we'll see what he has to say about his visit. He's never seen it before, so he may get here and he may not feel comfortable. He may be applied for three or four different schools and listed in three or four different school directories. So that's not that uncommon at this stage of the game because you're talking about making this decision over the course of the next month and try to go to somewhere in May or at the latest 1st of June. Well, you got to get that process going,
right?
You know, to cover your bases. So something to keep an eye on. We'll see what Brew McCoy has to say after the weekend.
So him bouncing USC, Texas, back to USC, obviously it's not scaring away anyone in terms of his background with that indecision early on.
No, I think the bigger thing was the allegations against him off the field at Southern Cal that have been completely resolved, and there were no charges brought forth. The case has been completely dropped after he was accused of some things off the field, but there's nothing there. And I think that was the holdup for people. They wanted all that to be cleared up to know kind of what was going on, what was not. If there was going to be something there, obviously a lot of schools weren't going to touch him that way. But once that got cleared up, I think a lot of people said, okay, yeah, we're very interested because he's a talent. You know, has he bounced? Yeah, but who's not bouncing these days? Right. That's kind of the way of the world. I mean, used to that kind of stuff might red flag somebody, but now, I mean, you got kids going in the portal. I mean, I think Florida State had a DB go in today. I think there was something like 15 more kids went in the portal on March the 24th, mm-hmm. with a decision to make between now and June, you know, but they're in the portal so they can go take some visits somewhere and see some schools that they want. Spring practice, you know, a couple weeks in a couple places, they're not getting the reps or the opportunities, or it's a new coaching staff, they don't feel comfortable with them. Hey, I'm going on elsewhere. There'll be another run of guys who go in the portal in the next 4 weeks when spring practices en masse around the country end.
It's really crazy. It's one thing after spring practice. You see how it plays out. Maybe you feel like you're not as much of a factor for playing time. But if you're in the middle of your spring practice or before, I mean, that's kind of crazy timing, isn't it?
Well, but look what the SEC's doing to you. Look what they're doing to kids. It's unfair. If you want to transfer SEC to SEC, you got to be in the portal by February 1st.
I don't get that.
Well, I mean, so the kid's going to jump in to cover his bases. Then he's got to go. Then he's going to go try to convince his current coach or his new coach. Hey, I may not be leaving. Was that coach going to even invest in him in spring practice if he wants to go through it? Or is the kid not even going to give a new coach a chance and go through a spring because he wants to stay in the South and he knows that the only way he can do that is to go into the portal before he ever gets to work with his new coach, whether it's a position coach, coordinator, or head coach, or to know where he's at? I mean, think about a quarterback. If you're a quarterback, are you going to stay and compete for the job? You know, or if you know you can go to another SEC school, are you going to go ahead and go into that portal February 1? Because if you don't go in and then you come out of spring and you don't win the job, or you don't feel like you were given an opportunity to win the job, then you can't go to the SEC. You can't transfer SEC to SEC. So I would like to see the SEC remove that rule, and I would like to see almost like free agency in the NFL, some window,
right?
Some window of times of when guys go in, instead of you can go in on any random Tuesday that you want to go in. I think that's really hard on coaches. I think that's really hard on people trying to manage their roster with guys being able to go in on whatever random day they want to go in.
So with everything that the coaches have to deal with already, how do they track all these guys in the transfer portal? I'm sure there's a staff that does a lot of the leg background work. And then, you know, if someone might present themselves, then they can do a deeper dive in. But they're already having to track everybody in recruiting. Now they have to track everybody's roster as well. I mean, it's so hard.
Well, and I think you hire somebody and put somebody in that role.
Right.
Here's the other thing, too, that's happening is a lot of kids know where they're going before they ever formally get into the portal. You're not supposed to, okay, but right. Yeah, you had a running back from SMU go in the portal last week. 3 days later, he's committed to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Is Ole Miss the only school that talked to him in 3 days? Or did he know he was planning on going to Ole Miss before he went into the portal?
Yep.
I'm not saying Ole Miss did anything wrong, okay? But he knew where he was going before his name ever went into the portal. Mm-hmm. That's the challenging of it. Part of it is, okay, how do I know who's going to transfer? Well, here's what happens in a lot of cases. These kids all know each other, okay? It's Snapchat, it's Twitter, it's all this social media, it's Instagram, it's direct messages on all those platforms. Hey, man, what's it like at your place? I'm thinking about leaving, okay? So then that kid goes up to his coach and says, hey, my buddy texted me last night. He's interested in maybe moving around. Would you guys have interest? Would we have interest here? I think he'd be a really good player for us. Yeah, we'd have some interest there. Yeah, they'd have some interest here. Is that tampering? You know, that's just a couple kids talking. And that's how a lot of this is getting going and getting started, to where a kid goes into the portal and is committed to a new place 24 to 48 hours later. And so it's not open season for recruiting those guys in some cases. In some of examples, there are. But in other cases, it's a situation where they had a really good idea of where they were going before they ever entered the transfer portal.
That's Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. His hour weekly here on Sports Talk is presented by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. It's the Brent Hubbs Hour. Brent Hubbs from VolQuest's appearance presented each week by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Brent, two practices into the spring. Obviously, they haven't put the pads on yet, but just initial thoughts on guys that, you know, may look the part or look like they've jumped out and could be a real impact player for this team at some point.
Well, we'll see how it turns out from an impact standpoint, but Elijah Simmons clearly looks the best he's looked since he's been at Tennessee from a body makeup standpoint, his physique. He's lost weight. He's lost a lot of body fat. He looks like he's moving around better. He's got to stay healthy, so we'll see. But that's a guy who certainly has committed himself the last 3 months to changing the way he looks, which, as Tim Banks talked about today, just that commitment alone is an encouraging sign because he's got a lot of talent. It's just it's been hard to get it out of him on any kind of regular basis. He jumps out, first and foremost. I'm really curious to see where Julian Nixon is at the end of spring practice. And I say that for this. I mean, Jacob Warren needs work, but he doesn't have to. You don't have to just beat him into smithereens in terms of number of reps. Same for Princeton Fant. They both played a ton of football for you. Princeton Fant, you're managing some ailments that he deals with anyway. And so here's a situation where Julian Nixon's going to get a ton of reps. So how much can he help himself? Miles Campbell not going through spring's tough for Miles. I mean, that's a tough loss for him. So what does he look like? Love the way Justin Williams Thomas looks at running back. Curious to see him in pads. I don't think you can make any assessment of those guys, without being in pads. Caleb Miller's long. I mean, he is long, or Caleb Webb, is long at receiver. I think that's intriguing to see moving forward. How does Cam Miller use his body? He's a different build of a receiver. I mean, he's different than kind of the rest of those guys. So physically, how does he play when they get in pads? And I'm curious to see Elijah Herring. We've obviously at VolQuest have gotten to know Elijah well. It's a guy we've covered seemingly for 4 or 5 years, it feels like. I mean, we've interviewed him a bunch, seen him change a lot from a physical standpoint just as he's matured. Everybody got a chance to hear him today. Polished kid, smart individual. Curious to see him when the pads go on and kind of what his adjustment looks like. But those newcomers look. I mean, they do look the part. Now, looking the part and playing in pads are two different things. But those guys look good, and so we'll see how that translates when they get into pads on Saturday moving forward. But I understand why Josh Heupel likes this new class of newcomers because they don't look like a ton of just raw, brand new newcomers. They look like guys who were a little further along in development physically.
656-865-656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Any questions for Brent Hubbs? Nico Iamaliava, the five-star, first chance to get your thoughts on maybe not just his commitment to Tennessee, but what his impact can be in helping shape this next class.
Well, I think it's significant, okay? But because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It's all about quarterback. You got to have a quarterback, and you've got to have a quarterback that others recognize as a really talented guy who can help you, okay? It's just like yesterday, Tyreek Hill goes to the Miami Dolphins, right? Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's a really good player. And everybody's question was, is Tua really going to be able to get him the ball? I mean, they got issues at quarterback because they're not settled there because Tua's been Tua since he's been there. He's not been consistent enough. So I think just having a quarterback and having a high-profile quarterback garners attention at a lot of places, in a lot of positions. Okay, we're seeing it already at the wide receiver spot. Carnell Tate. Kyler Casper from out in Arizona, two guys that know Nico well. Will they all play together? I don't know, but Tennessee's going to be further in the game with those two guys because there's a relationship there that Nico has with them. But I think offensive linemen pay attention to it. Running backs pay attention to it. And I think Nico's personality is going to help Tennessee as well. He's going to be here on April the 9th, that weekend, and he's going to take and be here with other recruits. And I think people gravitate to his personality and the way he is. So I think he's going to be a good ambassador for Tennessee long term. And in the short term, I think he's going to be a really good ambassador for Josh Heupel's recruiting class because I think he's going to be able to go out there and make some noise on the recruiting trails because I think he'll work at it.
Final segment with Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. His appearance each week here on Sports Talk presented by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. I'm Vince Ferrara in for John and Jimmy. John will be back tomorrow. Jimmy on vacation until next week. Let's go to the phones. And Steve is up next. Steve, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Awesome. about to sleep through the show, guys.
Oh,
I got
come
real
on
lucky
now.
And I heard somebody on the radio give a time for their show. And I thought, well, dadgum, I'm already missing Brent. So I got lucky. But I did not. Who are some running backs for this class coming up in recruiting? Who are some running backs and also, how many people would it not surprise you in state for the next class coming up roundabout that we could sign? I'm saying 6 or 7 at least. And I wonder what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think your number of 6 or 7 in state's a pretty accurate number, Steve. I don't disagree with that. Now, that may change a little bit depending on how some guys camp or some guys visiting this summer. But, you know, I think that you've gotten a pretty good idea of some guys that they like in the state, particularly the big body guys. So I think your number there is pretty accurate. I would not disagree with you. At running back, I think Deshaun Bishop from Carnes here locally is a guy Tennessee's offered. I think he's pretty well up the board. I think Jeremiah Cobb is a young man from down in Florida, North Florida, that I think Tennessee is in a decent spot with, and I think that. That's a guy that's a priority for Tennessee. So that's kind of my top two running backs at this point. There'll be another running back or two emerge, I think, once we get out of spring evaluations that'll be on that list. There always seems to be that way at that position. But those would be kind of the two of the bigger names that I would throw at Tennessee right now as possibilities.
Hey, Steve, we're up against the end of the hour, but we appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Couple quick things want to get your thoughts on. Rick Barnes getting a contract extension.
Yeah, had a great year. Not surprised. Coach Barnes has got this program in a great spot, represents the university really well. I think Danny White said it best in his release. He's very, very comfortable with everything that Rick Barnes does as an ambassador for his athletic department in the University of Tennessee.
David Cutcliffe getting a role with the SEC.
I sent Coach Cut a message today. I said, congratulations, welcome back. You got a lot of work to do because there's some things in this league that's got to be addressed.
Can you fix officiating, Coach Cut?
We'll see how much he can get done. But welcome back to the fire because there's a lot of things in this league that I think needs to be addressed. But I'm excited for him. I know he had a bunch of opportunities. Hey, I give David, and it's not a surprise because it's David,
right. Taking
his time trying to figure out what he wants his next move to be. Does he want to be an analyst for someone? Does he want to go into private coaching? Or did he want to continue to try to help the college game? And this opportunity came about with the SEC, and I just think he felt like it was too good of an opportunity for him to fix a game he loves or to help a game he loves so much that he couldn't pass this deal up.
And just quick reaction to Tennessee getting eliminated by Michigan in the second round. How surprising was that to you?
Surprising. I didn't expect Tennessee to shoot the basketball like that. Nobody did. It's all about matchups. It's not necessarily the number, but besides your name, it's all about the matchups. Everybody, I think, felt like Colorado State would have been a better matchup for Tennessee. Not that Michigan was impossible, but that was a Michigan team highly ranked in the preseason, never could put it together in the regular season, went through a lot with their coach, and then has started putting it together. Would not be surprised at all to see them in the Elite Eight. I'm not saying they're going to get there. Wouldn't be stunned if that's the case with the way they were playing. Tennessee just didn't bring their best. They didn't play as well as they needed to against the Wolverines, gave up some critical plays late, and obviously didn't shoot the ball well enough.
And I know the regular season versus postseason is going to be a continued topic of conversation on the message boards of VolQuest, on our station. What else is going on at VolQuest?
Well, plenty of recruiting coverage of spring football, and we've got coverage of Tennessee and Ole Miss this weekend. What an unbelievable series and atmosphere that's going to be. The Rebels are laying in wait down there. That'll be a hostile environment. I think it's sold out all 3 days. We know Tennessee kind of likes that mentality and likes that approach. This thing will be super intense for March college baseball. It should be a fun weekend. So we got coverage of that, football, basketball, recruiting, all those things going on right now at VolQuest.
Awesome. And thanks to Diversified Enclosures and Screen presenting Brent Hubbs from VolQuest each week. Brent, have a great rest of the week. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.